And there's many more testimonies that could be given tonight. But right now, let's turn the service to Brother and Sister Price. And I mean it when I say take your liberty, and we're not going to be watching the clock. So have a good time, and we'll just have a good time too. And we appreciate this good testimony from Brother Hollis. Amen. All right.
Yeah, I was going to say I feel fortunate after what I heard you tell Brother Garrison.
He was my son-in-law.
Yeah, but I don't preach an hour and a half either, you know that. I think I turned myself off after that long. Well, glory. It's always different at time left after time, church. Thanks. Well, I've told people that's never been here. I said, I guarantee you there's no other church quite like this. There may be counterfeits. You know, some may leave and try to be like it, but there's none quite like the Apostolic Church in Pine Bluff. And I love being here, and I tell you, I am glad that I came just to find out that this young man received the Holy Ghost a few nights ago. In Little Rock the other night at Brother Golder's, just as soon as the opportunity availed itself, he ran to the altar with his hands up. And I've been thinking about you. I don't even know your name, but I've been thinking about you ever since. I thought, Lord, there's a hungry soul. He wasn't fooling around with God. He meant business that night. God honors hunger. God honors it. I don't care what it is. If I'm sick and I need healing, God honors. Lord, I need business with you. Hallelujah. I need business. And that's the way it all comes about. Thank the Lord. I could stand tonight and talk for the next I don't know how long on how good God's been to me. But you could too. You could too. Everyone that's received the Holy Ghost, we could talk the rest of the night individually on how God has kept us and how the storms have come, but He's calmed the storm. We can talk about the healings, and thank God for the healings. I love it. Hallelujah. But it all just comes back to the simple fact, I love Him. He's good to me. Thank God. I don't find it hard to worship or praise God. It becomes easy. And it's easier as it goes along. You keep track record of what God has done, and it becomes easier to praise God. Hallelujah. Because I think of all the great things. Hallelujah. We are glad to be here tonight. I told him at home Sunday, I said, now look, if y'all are fixing to go out of town like you did the last time we had service before Thanksgiving, I said, let me know about it, because I'm not going to sit here with just a couple of you. I'm going to church. So they let me know. We let them out, and I'm in church tonight. Thank the Lord. Let them fool around with it. Brother Donald, I didn't want to be there just two or three if they're all going out of town. So we're here tonight, and I'm glad to be here. Thank the Lord. Worship with my wife.
When clouds of doubt utter or be, storms of life toss me to and fro, there is a place I can go. For Jesus fills in every tempest. He's an anchor that is sure in times like this. Oh,
is my refuge. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Glad to have the opportunity to be in service with so many visitors. I don't know, that's not a very good word, but those who would not have an opportunity to meet, glad we can make your acquaintance. These young people from Jackson, glad to have you with us. I've got a cousin going to Jackson, Rhonda Fishback. Y'all know her. I talked her into going down there. So anyway, I hope she does good or I may be in trouble. Thank the Lord. I'm going to read tonight something that Brother Rutledge called me Monday, and when we told him we were coming over, he called and asked if I'd preach tonight. And this scripture, I went to church, and this is what kept coming to my mind. And it normally the night before Christmas, or night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouth. Normally, the night before Thanksgiving, if I'm going to preach at home, I don't know. Just up to me, I always try to just get up something thankful. And I don't know what I may get up to before I'm through tonight. But I've got a scripture that I want to read tonight. And I've got about five different directions I feel like going in it. And I may pull a Garrison on you tonight. I don't believe so. But I want to read from Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. I'd like to read beginning with the first verse. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And out of that fifth verse, something reaches to me that I'd like to use, said he could there do no mighty work. He could do no mighty work. Now, we're talking about healings. It isn't hard to get a healing type testimony service going. You know, I ran over, as we were talking about several different healings, I had about 15 of them that just come to my mind. I thought, boy, would they ever like know about this? And oh my, what about that? How excited, how great. And it's good. I like it. I like that. Once in a while, we just have a testimony service at our church. Just say, if you've been healed, we want you to stand and talk about it. And it's never failed. It's always brought a blessing. It's good. I like to hear the things that God has done. In our thinking about the ministry of Jesus, the time that his life, the 3.5 years of his ministry, most of the thoughts go along with his great miracles that he wrought while on the face of the earth. Most of the time, we think in terms of the lepers cleansed, the deaf hearing, the blind, and so on, that transpired or took place. But it almost appears to me in this fifth verse of this chapter that there was a failure occurred in his home country. It seems to me as I read it, and the more I read it and as I pray about it, it almost seems that there is a feeling that reaches out of these verses that you can look at it and say that there were some things he wanted to do. There were some works he desired to do. You know, I've often when we begin a service, and then when the service is over, I don't talk much about this, but in my mind, I'll pray to begin it, and I'll pray a lot of times at the end in a question to the Lord, what did you really want to do, and maybe that we did not allow you to do. How it's not necessarily what I desire tonight, God. What do you want? And then when it's over and the shout and the leaping and the joy and all that church, we've got some people in our church, if they don't shout, then if there goes a month, if they don't shout, there's two or three men, they're not ready to leave the church. Things are bad. Get a dry spell. Hey, there's times God wants to do things that are far beyond the shout. The shout and the loud actions are great in their place, but sometimes what we say becomes the mighty work of God is nothing but something that magnifies the flesh. It does nothing for God. Hallelujah. So what do you want? Now, failures. Now, that's something we don't, I start to say we don't like to talk about. Some people like to talk about failures. For the Greenway, there's some people that like to talk about the hard times. There's some that they just like it. There's a building. If you go around, I believe it was in Indianapolis, I've seen this building numerous times. Someone had set out to build a beautiful building. It was a circular, or the beginning of it was circular. But here it is. They've got the blocks up. And there's some steel structure that you can see coming out of the top. There's no roof on it. And it has been 3 or 4 years now since they began the building. And there are weeds that are growing up. The windows, where the windows should be, there are the openings. You can see the outline of the building. But when I inquired about this after seeing it several times, I found out that the people that set out to build it, they got in over their heads. And they didn't have the finances to finish the building. So there, in the midst of gray edifices, of tremendous buildings that are being built, there sits a failure. There sits a man's idea. There sits the beginning. At the beginning, there was excitement. And there was the idea, we can do it. At the beginning, he thought about, or the group, whatever it was, they thought about, we can do it. We can build it, we can make money off of it, and it'll be fantastic. But it fits tonight a failure of a man's dreams or his hopes. Now, when I read this verse of Scripture, I have to think of all the times that Jesus wrought miracles. But Bernard, there are mighty works. Now, there's two places in these five verses that refers to mighty works. First of all, the people said that you know, where does he get this, what they're saying, this ability to do these mighty works? They said he's able to do mighty works. But the Word of God said in the fifth verse, he wasn't able to do a mighty work there. It lets me to know, first of all, my God enjoys doing great works. My God likes to open blinded eyes. He likes to straighten the feet out. He enjoys healing cancer. We're not robbing from God. He likes to give these things. I feel, personally, I feel that Jesus, my Lord, likes to show his power every now and then. I think when we talk about apostolic power, that there's times that the Spirit of God likes to demonstrate itself in power. Whether we reach for it or not, he's wanting to bring it, and he enjoys the great works. The great works. He doesn't do anything small, simple, or insignificant. He enjoys the great works. But here, as he walked into his town, he lived 30 years. More or less, in his home country. For the Jackson, he lived there enough that they knew him as the carpenter instead of Messiah. They knew him as Mary and Joseph's son instead of God's son. This is the way they began to know him. He came home. Now, used to be, it's not so much that way anymore. It used to be that
there were three places that was very difficult for me to preach. When I'd go home to my dad's church, sometimes I wanted to find a hole and bury myself in it after I was finished. I'd go to my uncle's church. That's where I was raised most of my life. I'd do my worst there. You know, I'd tell them, hey, I can preach, but I didn't there. And when I came here, I used to have the hardest time. And now I just got the place. I don't care if you like it or not. I'm just there to preach. You know. But it was rough. And the reason that these three places were home. They were home. And you tried. You're wanting that. Jesus was human. He was divine, but he was human. I feel that when he was coming home, that there were some things that he wanted to do. I believe that like any other country of that day, that there were those afflicted, those sick, undoubtedly the blinded, that Jesus wanted to heal. Maybe as he was approaching the city limits, he thought of personal individuals that he knew of his 30 years of living there, that he said, I'd like to kill this one. I remember this man, or the shopkeeper, I'd like to be able to kill him. And I think that there were those that even came to his mind, I'd like to reach. But if there's one place in all of the time of Jesus working that he wanted to do some mighty works, it was at home. He wanted to come. He went to the synagogue, he taught, and he wanted to demonstrate his power. He wanted his home to believe who he was. These things were there, the desire. But when it comes right down to it, the fifth verse said, and he could there do no mighty work. He was unable. But then it goes on. There's something else that just reaches in this fifth verse. It said, save. Now, it wasn't completely lost. He said, save. That he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. A few sick folk. A few. We don't know how many he's talking about. If it was two or three, be a pretty good night service for me. If two or three walked in. Now, when you're talking sick here, it's not the ingrown toenail that we complain about. It's not the minor problems that we talk about. When Jesus dealt with the sick, he dealt with sick folks. He dealt with those that spent all they had and grew worse. He dealt with those that were either already dead or almost dead. This is who he reached for. But it looks to me that he completely ignores or pushes aside the fact there are a few that were healed. You know, my thoughts are, thank God for a few that have faith in the Lord. Thank God for a few that came to him. But the emphasis is not on the few. The emphasis is not on those that were healed, but what Jesus left in his word, what my God allowed us to see was not those that were healed, but those that were not healed. That's what he left town with. I believe, beloved, I feel like I know during the time that I evangelized, and I can think of one particular church, that I have left revivals, and maybe this one church, Brother Bishop's church, this particular revival, I believe there were 15, 16 that received the Holy Ghost. But there were two young men that sat during 3 weeks in the back of the church, and they were under conviction every night of that revival. And it wasn't this 3 weeks with Monday and Tuesday off. That was, we started on Monday after 2 weeks in another place, and we went through the whole thing, and it was 3 weeks every night, and these boys were there. I left that revival with these that had received the Holy Ghost. You know, I felt, thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank God for that. But yet I left saying, what about the two? What about the two? Sometimes we get caught away with the few and we miss. We're wrapped up in the excitement of the few. And I'm not downplaying. Don't get me wrong. Don't stop me here. I'm not downplaying. But sometimes we get wrapped up in the simple things, the minute workings of God, and we fail to reach to the depth. What excited because one was healed or this happened or that happened, and I'm not going to get excited about it. Get excited, but don't let it stop there. Remember those that were not healed. Remember those that failed to receive their healing. Now, the problem was, this isn't deep or anything new, but the problem was, this is just home. They were familiar with Jesus. They were too familiar with Jesus. I've had the Holy Ghost 22 years, just a little over 22 years. And there are times that I come to church after 22 years of feeling the Spirit of God. There are times that I have come to church for the way that God's moved, and it's just a moving of God. It's just the same thing we felt. Hasn't it been good to be in the house of God tonight? Let's all stand and go home and come back and do it again another night. You know, it's not the, God, thank you for coming and meeting with us. It's not the, Lord, I'm so glad that we've been able to sing about you and worship you and praise you. It's not the, when I feel God, my soul begins to cry because I love you, Jesus. Sometimes I have lost that, and it's not that God has withdrawn himself, but I have allowed myself to become too familiar with my Savior and taking it as all for granted. It's going to be there. It's just going to happen. I don't have any doubt. It's Sunday night. We're going to have a good time in the Lord instead of coming and waiting on God and saying, that's why your prayer room, this church, since y'all been praying, things have been happening in this church. That prayer room is getting a hold of God and saying, Lord, what do you want to do tonight? God, what is it you want to work in our lives tonight? How do you want to move on us tonight? Now, if we take that in sincerity, then we're going to leave walking hand in hand with God, and God will bless us. She spent 30 years, more or less, in this town, in this country. For the last almost 2,000 years, the church has been his home country. The church is home to Jesus. This is where he lives. He doesn't live outside of the boundaries of the church. He does not live in the world. You're not going to find him in the bar. You're not going to find him in the racetrack. You're not going to find him anywhere except in the boundaries of the church. When you walk into the city limits of the church, you're in his hometown. Now, the thing that hit me and that I'm wondering, after all of these years of him living here, can it be that after, my folks, I was raised in this. My folks were raised in this. My grandparents received the Holy Ghost years and years and years and years and years and years ago. It's nothing new to me to see someone receive the Holy Ghost. It's nothing new to me for these things. It's the shout and all that goes with it. That's why I get excited some of these new people. Please don't lose that excitement. But Sammy, don't lose your enthusiasm. Don't get it lost in anything that's not important. Keep that excitement. Hallelujah. Keep that excitement. If the Lord tarries and we're here another 50 years, I believe he's coming, but I don't know when. I tell you when I know, the day after he comes, I guarantee you, then we know when he's coming. And that's the only thing I'm concerned with. But if he tarries 50 years, Brother Sammy, not in this building, but I believe in a new building, you'll be sitting on the second row, still saying, I'm ready to testify. I'm ready to praise God. I'm still excited. This is what we've got to have. I worry about some that used to be excited. They lost me. I worry about those that used to pray around the altar with the Lord, but they're more interested and more concerned in talking back there than praying up here. I worry about those that have lost the ability really doing anything. The ones that are wrapped up in this type of thinking are the ones that have become too familiar with Jesus. They're the ones that don't worship anymore. They're the ones that you can't find in the prayer rooms. They're the ones that they lost their soul. How can people sit in an apostolic church? But Bernard, you lead in singing. How can people sit in an apostolic church singing, "We shall be the King," and there's some that are sitting around that have the Holy Ghost for 30, 40 years, 5 years, a year, it doesn't matter, and they're just not even singing. And then they're thinking, you know, well, things just aren't going too much around here like it used to. We don't have the services like we used to. There's a man in my dad's church that had been in the church, I guess, too long. That's all I know. God should have took him a while ago, evidently. He's talked out one time. That's the only man I've ever heard in my dad's church ever speak out in a service. And I was scared to death God was going to send lightning and kill him right there. I wasn't too young. I was about 15, 16 years of age, and I'm telling you, I thought the man was going to die before he left. That's something that, you know, just talk out and say something against the church. I was taught against that. He stood up one Sunday morning. My dad was preaching something about, I don't even know now what it was all about, but never forget this man standing up and pointing his finger and talking, "The church isn't what it used to be. We don't have the move like we used to have." And in an ugly, ugly, ugly spirit. When he went home that morning, and I started to watch him, you know, I wanted to stay away from him. He never took his Bible home with him. Always left it at church. Never saw him stop by the prayer room coming to church. When the preacher said, "Turn with me to such and such," he's one of those that start, he did one of two things. He either bowed his head and acted like he was so bored he just couldn't stand it and he wanted to make everyone think he was asleep, or that was the time he called up on his Bible reading. He decided he wanted to get spiritual and read the Bible during that time. He just wasn't going to get involved. What had happened? He became too familiar. And in that man's life, there couldn't be any mighty work. You know, we're not talking, I'm not dealing with 150 people in the apostolic church. Well, that's not what we work with. We work with individuals. The mighty work is with Von Greenway or Brother Wilson or Brother Howard. That's where the mighty work. It's when the individuals come and they bring the mighty work to the house of God. God works through us to bless the church. He moves through us to bring in the lost. And if I become too familiar with God, He can't work in my life. I lose my witness. I lose my love. I lose all the concern that I ever thought about having for a lost and dying world. If I don't care about my world, I'm not going to do anything for God. These people, all they said was, "Well, you know, we just don't know about this. We just don't understand all of this." Jesus said in the 6th verse that he marveled. He was astonished because of their unbelief. I came to heal. I came to give you words of life. I came to touch the leper and make him white as snow. And you... As one apostolic saint of God, if I know too much about Jesus, and I need to forget about some things that I have learned over the years, and start coming to church with a childlike sincerity, God, we need you to move on us tonight. God, you've come home. You're here tonight. How many times has the Spirit of God just moved in on our service and wanted to do some things that we just really wasn't willing to believe Him for? How many times has God walked into the home? too much about you, Jesus. I'm too familiar. And I'm not going to let it happen. Not meaning to be obnoxious or not meaning to have unbelief, but just with our preconceived ideas, I'll hold the move of God away. Lord, how many times has Mark chapter 6 been written about my life, and he could there do no mighty work? Oh, he did a few little things. You know, he might have shouted, might have spoken in tongues. Some of us are all wrapped up too much in tongue talking. If I speak in tongues, bless God, then I've got it made. No, I don't have it made. No, I don't. I like to speak in tongues. I enjoy praying and all of that. And I, you know, that's part of it. But that's not the ending. That is not all of it. That is not the epitome of walking with God. There's much more to it. I need to start seeing some other things. Oh, some little things happen tonight and I'm so happy. No, God, I want to change that verse. I don't want that in my life. I want it to be when he comes to his home country, to this temple, when he comes into my life, I want him to leave saying great things were done out of that high life. Great things were done when he came home. Souls were saved. I am so thankful for these young families that are being born in this church. I am so thankful. It doesn't help Arkadelphia one iota, but it sure does an awful lot to my soul. I am so glad for that work. That's a great work. That is great works of God when the souls are coming in. But I sit again, even with that, I can sit back as an individual and say, well, that's great. I'm glad that's going on with someone. But what have I ever done to reach one soul? Hallelujah. You know, the feeding of the 5,000 was a great thing. It is a great miracle. You know, if the people, if you'd been there, you would have probably been talking things like, boy, that's unbelievable. Did you see what Jesus did? Oh, and oh, they would they're just being awe. Oh, how wonderful. But it only happened that one time, the 5,000, then there were 7,000 fed in a similar fashion. But that's all we read about it. What if it would have happened about 10, 15 more times? About the 15th time, it would have lost some of its excitement. Same two fish and five loaves. Same miracle, but, well, you know, we're getting accustomed to it now. We kind of expect him to feed us with just almost nothing now. It's lost its excitement. It's lost its zeal. Israel grew accustomed to the manna that fell. It was from God. Can't deny it. God fed us. It'll sustain us. He kept us. They grew accustomed to the idea they didn't have to go and buy any new clothes. They grew accustomed to the working. They grew accustomed to the cloud and the fire. You know, I'm talking about great works of God. But, well, the cloud's always there in the day and the fire's always there at night. But it's time, after 40 years, I still need to look up and say, you know what? I'm glad that God has led me for 40 years in the wilderness with a cloud and a fire. I'm glad God's always been with me. I'm glad for the keeping hand of God. When I go accustomed to it, then I am losing the joy that goes along with working with God and walking with God. I love the church. I love the church. I love the church. But I question, could it be possible that we can grow? Could it be? I'm just asking you. That we could grow accustomed to the moving of God in such a fashion that we will lose whatever it takes to produce some great works in our lives. Not in the church. This church, I enjoy coming to church in this church as much or more than I do any church I know. There's some great kinds of God in this building. But I'm dealing on individual lives. Can I grow so accustomed to the move of God that I have lost what it takes to produce in my life the mighty work. I like the way the Bible puts it, mighty work. The great things. The real move of God. The unquestionable. Oh, yes, God's done some things for me. Bless his wonderful name. But what am I allowing him to do now? Sometimes we live too much in the past on past blessings, past healings, past miracles. What am I letting God do now? God wants to. You mark it down. If we go to our grave and not see one miracle, not see another soul filled with the Holy Ghost, you can write it down on the table of your heart. God wants to do great things. God wanted to part the Red Sea. God wanted to bring the walls of Jericho down. God wanted Goliath to fall by the little lance and the sling. God wants to do great things. This is a great church. A great body. Because we've got a great Spirit of God. Oh God, I don't ever want it to be said that when I came home to the church, the familiar surroundings, I couldn't do what I really wanted to do. Hallelujah. The mighty work that did not happen. I want to tell you, in my mind and in my soul, when I pray, I don't remember all the things God's doing, but I want to remember some things that he wasn't able to do. Because that'll prompt it in my heart to say, Lord, don't let me stop you. Hallelujah. Don't let me stop you. Stand with me together if you would tonight.
Hallelujah.